we get to hear from the best this morning. I love Pastor Marcy. If you don't know Pastor Marcy, her and her husband pastored our church for 13 years, and they're incredible. And so we love Marcy. We love the gift that she is to this house, and you're going to be blessed. And so I just want you to be expectant as she shares, and I'm believing that God's going to speak through her to us. Amen? And so would you just give it up this morning for Pastor Marcy Porraik.
I'm there for you.
Well, I told you I would, but I kind of forgot. There you go.
Okay. Can you hear me? Oh, you guys, we have such a great pastor, don't we? I just love you, Pastor Justin. It's amazing. It's just an honor and a privilege just to have such a great pastor and his wife and to be able to serve in a great church and be a part of a wonderful, wonderful family. Okay, I have to start out by being just really real, okay? It's going to help me just not be so nervous. I'm really nervous. Can I just be honest? I don't know. You know, who said it? I think, was it the McGuire girl last week? She said something about public speaking. Is there anybody here that likes public speaking? Let's just be honest. Really? Oh, my word. I don't mind it, but don't you still feel sick, though, when you do public speaking? Like, okay, this is how bad it is. When you know, your pastor asks you to speak, how do you think he felt when he got a green emoji on his phone? And then the next one was one throwing up, and he's like, oh no, my speaker has lost it. What have I done? And so those are the emojis I sent in the last 2 days. And then with the little sign, SOS, do you have a word ready? And he just smiled and said, oh, I gotcha. So if I'm up here and I fall over and I faint, Pastor Justin's going to take over. You know, it is kind of funny because I went through the line at a store yesterday. And I said to the checker, I said, man, I'm just stressed today. And he said to me, well, why are you stressed? And I thought, you know, so I decided to throw out a question. I said, hey, do you like public speaking? And he says, no. And I'm like, exactly. I said, how about I work for you tomorrow and you go speak for me? And he looks at me and says, oh, absolutely not. And so I thought it was something because it's funny how, you know, I think most people, even if you enjoy public speaking, you still have to work yourself up and get prepared and, oh, you still have that feeling. So now that you know exactly how I'm feeling, yeah. I'm going to take a deep breath and get through this today. So I'm excited today because my family is here. I have my niece and nephew and, of course, my sister-in-law and tons of family. My sister's down here and just a lot of family here. My mom and dad are here today. And so it's just nice to have them here to visit. And, of course, my church body family, amazing. So thrilled to be here with you today. Yeah, guess what? I got to come up here. Look, I even had to come up here with glasses. This is so sad. I never thought I would reach the age where I had to come up here with glasses, but there you go. Now you know that too. I just want to pray for a minute. I think my prayer would be this, Jesus help. Is that a good enough prayer? Holy Spirit come. So I just want to encourage you this morning. And you know, first of all, I want to say this. I am so thankful that our destiny is not based on what's in front of us. Our destiny is based on who is inside of us. You know, the storms of life, they don't make us, but they expose who we really are. If you're exhausted this morning, emotional, going through tough times, Jesus says this in John 16:33. He says, take heart. I've conquered the world. You know what he was saying? He said, I've taken control of this. Take heart. The promises of God's presence makes a difference. And God says, you will make it. I will make it. Go ahead and dare to trust me. I want to read Romans 8:11 this morning. It's a promise from God. It stands to reason, doesn't it? that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves in your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did his son Jesus, you are delivered from the dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. See, remember, we are God's sons and daughters. And just like his son, Jesus Christ, he wants to see you walk in life.
Come on.
Okay? Listen, you know, Michelle had to stand up here and say, okay, is anybody with me? Okay, why don't you help me out this morning? Okay, join in with
me.
I'm not preaching alone. It's God's word. I'm hearing God's word. And you know what? I might just be amening myself. This morning I was reading the word, and I came out of my bedroom, and I said to my dad, you know what? The Bible is kind of funny sometimes. Like, I was reading the word, and I started laughing. And then I would read the word, and I would say, man, that is a good word. So I hope I'm not have to tell myself it's a good word. I hope you join in with me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll tell you this morning, God is not interested in renovating our past. But what he is interested in is releasing your future.
Yeah.
See, he's not looking for the perfect. He's looking for the weak and the wobbly and the willing. Did you hear me? He's not looking for the perfect. He's looking for the weak, wobbly, and the willing. See, let me tell you this. I am not here today because I perfectly hung on to God. I'm here today because God perfectly hung on to me. Yes. And that's why you're here today. That's why you're here today. So that's kind of just my introduction. But, you know, Pastor Justin, he told me this month that we were just going to take a month of just sharing our testimony and things that God's doing in our lives. And I'm excited to see what God's doing all over the world and in our nation and in our community. I'm excited to see what God is doing in people. You know what? It's exciting here, even in our own church. And it's kind of just a side note, but because I saw you, you know, I think about Ted. I saw Ted over here, you know, and he is stepping out by faith and beginning to begin a process in politics. And you know what? That is a great thing. And I speak encouragement and favor over you, Ted, in Jesus' name, because God's favor is upon you. He has given you the ability to speak for truth. And I just prophesy that when you speak, that God will give ears to hear. And you know, that's an exciting thing to see people in our church rise up in areas. We need godly people in areas that can be a voice, not only for us, but a voice for the kingdom of God. That is exciting. So I bless you this morning, Ted. Thank you for being willing to stand up and do what God has placed in your heart to do.
Amen.
You know, I'm so glad. You know, I think about, I'm going to share just a little bit. I think about just storybooks and chapters and stories. And, you know, we read one story, and sometimes we like that story so much, we just stay in chapter one. But, you know, I thought about it, and I thought, I am excited for the new chapter that God has for my life.
Come on.
And you know what? I believe God has a new chapter for your life if you desire it.
Yeah, come on.
And you know, a lot of times we chapter two never happens without the setting of chapter one.
Right.
But there's also times that we can remain in chapter one when we need to keep continuing on to read chapter two. It's kind of like this. This would be my illustration. Is, you know, I like to hike. My nephew Dan here, he is in the front. He is like, he's the real hiker. Like, I'm not a real hiker. He's like a real hiker. He's what you call a mountain climber. Like, he's up there with the mountain goats. So he texts me the other day, and I said, okay, we're going to go hiking. And he says, should I bring my pack? And I wrote back, laugh out loud, no, you could carry my little backpack with some water in it. And he writes back laughing because he had just sent me a picture. Someone had sent me a picture of him on, like, the edge of one of the mountain cabinets in Montana. And I'm like, oh, wow. So our little jaunt up here to Rattlesnake Ridge or Poo Poo Point, I'm sure he'll be saying, is this a hike or a walk?
Right.
So, but anyways, I just think about climbing mountains And I don't know if you're like me, but I cannot go just halfway.
Yeah.
You know why I can't just go halfway? Is because if I don't go to the top, I'll never see what's on the other side.
Yeah.
And majority of the time, what you see on the other side is so more breathtaking than you could have ever imagined.
Yeah.
And I think about that when I think of my story. And I'm getting excited about chapter 2. You know why? Because it's an excitement in me that says, what's next?
Yeah.
What's next? And I think the same thing for you today, that God is wanting to get you write a new chapter in your book. Write a new chapter. So this morning, as we get going, I think if I was supposed to have a title, I'm not sure what my title is, but this is what my title is going to be. The process is in the promise.
Come on.
And you know, it's amazing. I got that title from a friend. I think the last time I preached here, Pastor Justin gave me a title. It's not about you. I said, is that a joke? Like, it totally rearranged my whole life. I'm like, okay, am I not any more messed up now? Then I had another friend that I'd been going through things in life, and every time I would text her, she would say, the process is in the promise. And I'm like, I wish she would quit saying that to me. What does that mean? And then you know what? You start studying, all of a sudden, if I had to title my message today, that's what it would be, is that the process is in the promise. Now, let me tell you this. The word process means this: a series of steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. Promise means this: a declaration or assurance that a particular thing will happen. You know what? It's in the waiting. It's in the waiting. That promise is in the waiting. And, you know, I want to tell you just to start out with this, and then I'm going to get into the Word, because it's the Word of God. It's not the stories that I can tell, although the stories of our life are testimonies and stories written by God. But I want to tell you, about a couple years ago, I had a prophetic word spoke over me. How many of you have just had a prophetic word spoke over you? If you don't know what a prophetic word is, let me say it this way. A word of encouragement over your life that changed your life. Has anybody ever had that here? Okay, great. You know what? Sometimes I hear encouraging words spoke over people, and I just say, you know what? I'm going to take that. I call myself a prophecy hog, so if it's not for me, and it's prophesied on you, and I like it, I take it for me anyways. That's just a hint that if you want to do that, it works. You can take those for you. But a couple years ago, with a series of things that happened in my life, I had a well-known prophet that called. It was just right after Ed had passed away. And he called my house and he said to me, Marcy, I had this dream and I saw Elijah and Elisha. And when the mantle fell, you picked it up. And I said, thank you very much, goodbye. And I hung up and I took that prophecy and I put it on the shelf. Boom, there you go. Not for me.
Right.
A week later, I'm not kidding you, I was in this church and we were doing a transition. And I had somebody that came up here and they walked up here. They thought they had a word for Pastor Justin. They turned around, they came back to me after church and she said, I thought my word was for the leadership and the transition, but she said, the Lord told me this word's for you. And she says to me, I want you to know that the Lord told me that. She said, I saw Elijah and Elisha, and when the mantle fell, you picked it up, and the Lord wants you to know it's going to be easy. And so I thought, okay, in 2 weeks, I'm hearing this. But I smiled at her, and I graciously said, thank you very much, and walked out the door and put it back on the shelf with the other one. And I left it there. And I waited. And it's been waiting. And you know, it's funny because it hasn't been, you know, it's been 2.5 years later. All of a sudden, God has begun to just give me revelation of what he was doing in my life. And revelation of a word that was spoke over me. And you know, can I tell you, sometimes those encouraging words, those prophetic words, prophetic encouraging words, you know what prophetic words are? They're words that are meant to encourage and build you up.
Come on.
Do you know that? So if people speak words over you, that's what you would call a prophetic word. And they're used to encourage and to build you up. And so, but I also believe this. When you are encouraged and built up in God, they are God. It's God's heart for you. It's what God wants for you. So I want to tell you this little story to pull this all around. And I'm going to be telling you where to find the scriptures. I'm going to paraphrase. If any of you have ever heard me before, I like to paraphrase. And I like to challenge you to go back and read God's word to find out that I'm accurate. And so I'm going to tell you this. I'm actually going to be reading out of 1 Kings 19. And I would encourage you at some point in time to go back and read 1 Kings 17 and 18 prior, because I'm going to paraphrase it. But the way I want to start is with this. Jumping from 1 Kings to 2 Kings to most of the time we hear the story in the church about Elijah and Elisha, where he was caught up and went to heaven and the mantle dropped and Elisha received a double portion. But I want to talk to you prior to that, if you'll let me. And so I want to talk in 1 Kings 19, and I'm going to paraphrase it like this. And a lot of what I'm reading is out of the message. I enjoy the message in reading it. But Ahab was a wicked king of Israel, and his wife Jezebel was even more wicked. Is that even possible? Wicked is just wicked, but she was even more wicked. They had turned away from teachings of God laid out by Moses and turned to worshiping false idols. They brought in false priests. They brought in false prophets who worshiped false gods and idols. The people were swayed by the false gods. So during this time, you know what? This is the crazy thing. That could sound a little bit like our world today. We are in that, where there is wickedness, and people are worshiping things that are not, worshiping false gods, and we're in this. But yet, in the midst of it, there is a prophet named Elijah. He is one that wants to serve God with his heart. So during this time, Elijah goes in, and he basically cleans house. He takes out all of those wicked prophets and all of those wicked priests. And then when he goes in and cleans house, the wicked king Ahab goes back and tells his wife Jezebel, this is what Elijah has done. Well, she's like, what makes him, you know, who does he think he is? And she sends a messenger back and says to tell him, we're coming after you to kill you. So Elijah gets this report, and this is what it says. Elijah runs for his life to Beersheba, far in the south of Judah. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I don't know if you look up words, and I know, I thought about it, and I thought, here's Elijah. He, all of a sudden, this fear and intimidation, he has had a victory. He has cleaned house, and he has challenged the false gods and proved the God of the living army to be the right God. You guys have to go back and read it, because it's an exciting, and if I read it, I'd love to read it all to you right now, but it would take all day. But go back and read it, because even Elijah, he challenged those prophets and said, you know what, you do this, I'll do that. And he proved the God of God alive to be the God. And so here he has a victory, and all of a sudden a voice comes and says, I'm going to kill you. And he gets scared. Well, I think it's funny. He runs far in the south of Judah. Do you guys know what Judah means? Praise. I thought, he's running to praise? I thought, you're scared.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think of these words. But okay, so this is what the message says. Let me read a little bit. He came to a bush and collapsed in its shade, wanting in the worst way to be done with it all, just to die. Enough of this, God. Take my life. I'm ready to join my ancestors in the grave. Exhausted, he fell asleep under the bush. It's amazing what we tell God when we're exhausted, isn't it?
Yeah.
You hear it? I mean, I do. I think about this, and I thought, you know what? In the middle of my exhaustion, it's amazing what I say to God.
Yeah.
So God hears him. Suddenly, he falls asleep. So here's Elijah. He's sleeping under the bush. Suddenly an angel shook him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and to his surprise, right by his head was a loaf of bread baked on some coals and a jug of water. How'd you like to wake up to that after complaining, "Hey, God, I'm exhausted. Just take my life. Kill me." And you know what? God hears it, but he sends his angel. And then he wakes up to baked bread on coal. I mean, how awesome is that? I mean, it's just funny to me. He ate the meal, and then he went back to sleep. So he gets up, sees his baked bread, water, eats it, and he goes back to sleep. The angel of God came back and shook him awake again. Hey, get up and eat some more. You've got a long journey ahead of you. He got up, ate, and drank his fill, and set out. Nourished by that meal, he walked 40 days and nights all the way to the mountain of God. And when he got there, he crawled into a cave and went to sleep. Then the word of God came to him. "So, Elijah, what are you doing here?" "I've been working my heart out for you, God, for the God of the angel army," said Elijah. "The people of Israel have abandoned your covenant, destroyed your place of worship, and murdered your prophets, and I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me." Then he was told, "Go, stand on the mountain at attention before God, and God will pass by." Yeah. Now listen to this. So a hurricane wind ripped through the mountains and shattered the rocks before God, but God wasn't to be found in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a gentle, quiet whisper. When Elijah heard the quiet voice, he muffled his face with his great cloak and went to the mouth of the cave and stood there. A quiet voice asked, "So Elijah, tell me, what are you doing here?" And Elijah said it again, "I have worked my heart out for God, the God of the angel army, because the people of Israel have abandoned your covenant, destroyed your places of worship, and murdered your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me." You see, Elijah stood for righteousness. But you know, in the midst of standing up for righteousness, he got freaked out because they were worshiping idols. And now he's even freaked out more because they said, "We're coming after you to kill you." But yet he watched all the other people that were worshiping false idols be totally taken out. And here he was standing in the place of God. And now he's being told, you know, he starts freaking out. "They're coming after me to kill me." And here he was, the one person that wanted to worship the true God. See, you know, I think about the scripture ahead. It's regardless of fear and rage, you will need to get confidence in God and who he is and trust him. That's what he was basically telling Elijah. In all of it, trust me. And he found him in that still quiet voice. So continuing on, God said, "Go back the way you came through the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael. Make him king over Aram. Then anoint Jehu and make him king over Israel. Finally, anoint Elisha to succeed you as a prophet. Anyone who escapes the death of Hazael will be killed by Jehu. And anyone who escapes the death by Jehu will be killed by Elisha." Elijah went straight out and found Elisha in a field where there were 12 pairs of yoked oxen at work plowing. Elisha was in charge of the 12th pair. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak over him. Elijah deserted the oxen, ran after Elijah and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I'll follow you." "Go ahead," said Elijah, "but Mind you, don't forget what I have just done. So Elijah left. He took his yoke of oxen and butchered them. He made a fire with the plow and the tackle and then boiled the meat, a true farewell meal for the family. Then he left and followed Elijah and became his right-hand man. So this is what I want to tell you. Here is an ordinary man outdoing his ordinary job, living life, working hard day in and day out, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, his life was changed forever. Elijah went out and found Elisha, and Elisha was plowing the field. Elisha was pushing the plow and sowing his seed. Elijah threw his mantle on him and walked away. Let me tell you something this morning. If you can push the plow, you can carry the mantle.
Come on, Mark.
It is not a coincidence that the man who received the mantle was the man that was pushing the plow. Don't expect a mantle of greater portion if you are not willing to push the plow. Did you hear me? Don't expect a mantle of greatness if you are not willing to push the plow. See, let me tell you the story about Elisha. Before he inherited a double portion, he would wake up every morning, just like you and I, and he would have to push the plow and break the ground and sow the seeds. He would do it on sunny days, and he would do it on rainy days. He would do it when the ground was hard and when the ground was soft, on days when he was happy and on days when he was sad. He had to get up every day out of bed and push the plow and break the ground and sow the seeds. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you know what it's like in your family, in your home, in your marriage, and in your job to every morning get up and push the plow and break the ground and sow the seeds? You've done it in good days, and you've done it in bad days. There are days you have pushed the plows with a smile on your face. Yeah. And there are days when you push the plow with tears running down your face. Some of us have gotten so tired of pushing the plow, especially in those dry seasons, that all we could do was say to God, I can't do it anymore. At night when we would go to bed, we would tell God, I just can't. The ground is too hard. I can't push the plow any longer. I can't break this ground and I can't sow the seed any longer. Yet in the morning, when you woke up, you got up again and you continued to push the plow and break the ground and sow the seed. The reason you got up was because the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That's a good word. Good word, Mercy. Good word. Thank you. Come on. Come on. This is God's word. It's not me. It's Christ in me. In fact, that's the thing. Jesus, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And you know what? We have to continue to put a smile on our face and praise in our mouth, because believe it or not, a mantle is coming your way that will shift your life forever. That's what happened to Elisha. He was out just plowing, and somebody came along and put their cloak on him on a day he wasn't even expecting it. There is anointing. There is favor. There is breakthrough. There is harvest, and there is miracles coming our way. Do you guys believe it? Yes, I believe it. Our lives are about to radically shift, and we are going to run with the mantle. When the windows of heaven shine on us and when the powers of hell are unleashed to stop you, know this, there is a shift coming our way, a fresh touch coming our way, and doors of favor and opportunity, open doors of opportunity are going to come our way. Miracles are going to come our way. You know what? I think about my granddaughter Lila right here. You know, really, I have to tell you, confess, the reason all my family's here is not to hear me speak. They came for Lila's birthday. But you know what? I'm celebrating with them. You know why? Because God gave us 3 years of life with her. And that's amazing. We were granted 3 years of life with her. And many more to come.
Yep,
but see, you know what? We have to be thankful for what we have. We had her for 3 years. We still have her. And life continues because she is a walking miracle of God's power in her life.
Good word.
The exciting part is this. Elisha, now hear me on this. Elisha was never recognized as a plow pusher. He was known as a man that inherited a greater portion. You will not be known by what you pushed. You will be known by what you carry. So there's stories behind our life, but don't forget, you will not be known by what you pushed. You will be known by what you carry. So, you know, and then I'm going to jump back now to 2 Kings, where Elijah went up, and Elisha was there. And Elijah said to Elisha, "What can I do for you before I'm taken up?" Elisha said, "Your life repeated in my life. I want to be a holy man just like you." Elijah said, "That's a hard one. But if you're watching, when I'm taken from you, you will get what you asked for, but only if you're watching." You guys, don't take your eyes off the prize. Okay? That's what he said. You'll get what you asked, but only if you're watching. You know that you'll know by the grace and the favor and the anointing and the power of Jesus is all over you. You know what? We should be walking tall all the time because this is it. Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Come on.
That's what we carry. That's what we're known for.
Good.
That when people see you, I went somewhere last week in Anchorage and the manager took one look at me and she says, "I know you know Jesus." And she said, "Because I know Jesus too, and I can see it all over you."
Yeah, come on.
And I thought, thank you, God.
Yeah.
I want to know. You know what? One of my favorite scriptures, I'm sorry, I can't remember. Justin, you might be able to help. But I love it in Psalms, Proverbs, one of them. But it says this, "My feet," I might even be wrong totally. I'll find it for you afterwards, but I can answer. "But my feet are bathed in butter." I love it. When I go into the stores, when I go into the workplace, I say, "God, bathe my feet in butter." Because you know what? Butter is oily. And wherever you stop, I want to leave a trail of oil wherever I go. That people are like, "What? What is this?" That oil of gladness, the joy that is in me, Christ in us, the hope of glory. There is a mantle coming down on our families, on our children, on our church, on our community.
Come on.
A mantle. That mantle is coming your way that will enable you to survive the drought and go through fire and be drenched by a abundant rain. That's what I want. See, the God of process is the God of promise.
Come on.
There's a process. There's a waiting. But when it happens, when something comes along and you've been plowing, and I can tell you right now that our pastor has plowed. And you know what? Now he carries a mantle and he is no longer known by what he plowed. He is known by God in him and what God has anointed him to do. I want to tell you this too. You know what? The Bible tells us this in Ezekiel 34:26. Well, it says it this way. And let me tell you this, Justin. Those that prayed with you in the drought, deserve to dance with you in the rain.
Come on.
I'm going to dance with you. You know why? Because in the drought, I plowed with you. And I'm going to dance with you in the rain. And Ezekiel 34:26, it says this, I make them and everything around my hill a blessing, and I will send down plenty of rain in season, shower of blessing. And those who are ready to drop the plow and to walk with a mantle of God, it's coming your way. It's time now. You guys, we have been in a season. All of us, our churches, our community, many of our families, we have been in that season where we have gotten up and we pushed the plow. And we broke the ground and we've sowed the seed.
Come on. Come on.
We're not going to be known anymore by what we plowed. We're going to be known by what we carry.
Come on.
And it's fresh and it's new. It's going to be fresh and new. You guys just say it, stand. I just want to pray this morning. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Holy Spirit, come right now. God, thank you. Thank you, God, that we are known by you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. God, I pray over those right now that have gone through that season of drought where they have felt like they've gotten up every morning and pushed the plow and broke the ground and sowed their seeds. And they still feel like there is nothing coming out from it. God, I pray today that encouragement and faith would arise.
Yes, God.
God, here was Elisha just doing his job, just walking along in life, plowing. And God, you showed up. And God, today, I pray over each and every one today that God, that in the midst of those seasons, they will trust that you are going to show up. You are faithful to us. You are faithful, Almighty God. You are faithful to show up. You are the God of in the waiting and through the process. God, that your promise will come alive. God, I just call forth words of encouragement and life today in Jesus' name. Encouragement and life come forth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God, I prophesy over dry bones today to rise up in Jesus' name. I prophesy over dry bones to rise up in Jesus' name. I speak encouragement and life, encouragement and life. I pray, oh God, to dry bones, to those that have been discouraged, for those that do not know which way to go. God, that your spirit that lives in us would rise up. Oh God, rise up in your people today. Jesus, I call it forth. God, may we be people that rejoice in the process through the things we've come through. God, that we would reach to that thing that you have put on us. God, that the mantles that you put on us, the willingness to do. God, I speak those things even over Ted and over different ones that have been willing to take those mantles and run with them and say, I'm going to do it knowing God is with me. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
He's in the waiting.
He's in the waiting.
Hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. Slow down, take time. Breathe in, he said. He'd reveal what's to come.
The thoughts in his mind, always higher than mine. He'll reveal all to come. So take courage, my heart. Stay
Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. So hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. You hold, and he who holds the stars.
Come on, how many of you this morning could say that word's for me? Come on, let me see your hands. How many of you could say that word's for me? Because guess what? My hands are up too. Right, here's what I know this morning is that there is anointing for impartation. Right? Because when you have something inside of you, God has given that to you, not so that it dies within you, but so that it will be imparted through you. And there is something that Marcy spoke to us, not just one thing, but a number of things that she imparted us this morning, not because she's a scholar in plowing and carrying things, but she has an anointing to impart because she has walked through the process in her own life. Right? And I know this about Elijah, is Elijah woke up that morning plowing those fields the same way he woke up the previous morning. He woke up that morning not expecting everything in his life to change. He woke up that morning expecting to plow the fields like he's done every day of his life that he's plowed. But he didn't know that he was about to have a God encounter moment that would change everything. And here's what I know, is that God wants to encounter you and encounter you like he did Elijah right now. That many of you have been saying, man, I've been plowing in my marriage. I've been plowing with my kids. I've been plowing at my workplace. I've been believing God for things in my life. And And I want to encourage you this morning that today can be the day that you receive that impartation. Come on, how many of you want that today? Let me see your hands. Come on, we got a little time, because I believe that those moments we have with God are moments that we might not feel anything, but that everything can change in our lives today. So here's what I want to do. I ask her to preach. Sometimes I tell her, it's not about you. Here's the title. But I want Marcy to pray a prayer of impartation over us, over you. So this morning, if you're just saying, you know what, that's me, I just want you to raise your hands. Where you're at, you can raise them like this, you can raise them like this. But if you're saying, God, I need that in my life. I want a fresh encounter. I've been plowing and I've been sowing and I've been doing those things and all I'm getting is tired. I believe this morning that there's an anointing on Marcy that can impart to you what God has done in her. Again, it's nothing special about her, even though she's special. But there's something that she has that I want her to release to us. So if that's you, just lift up your hands, lift up your finger. Marcy, will you just come up here with me? Here's what I know about Marcy is that she's plowed. And it has never been perfect, and it hasn't been easy. And she still probably has some plowing to go, right? It's not done. But there's something inside of her that she has reached with the Lord that I just want her to speak over you and just release. So if that's you, just get in a posture to receive. I'm going to have you pray. Do you have your microphone on yet? Okay, use this one.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. God, I too just stand here. Just want to receive the impartation that you have for us today. God, we thank you that you are faithful. God, I thank you that you are faithful in every and into any situation. God, I thank you for so many lives that are here that have just plowed the ground. And God, right now, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you would just come through and you would just release just the mantle of your love to flow through each and every one of us. God, in areas that people have been asking, God, I call forth a release right now. I call forth a release of jobs. I call forth a release of restoration over marriages. I call forth release over children. I call forth just a release that your mantle would be released upon us. And Lord, even more so, God, even like Elisha, God, that you came and encountered him and you changed his life forever. God, we just ask today that you would pour out your spirit, that you would change us completely, a radical change, a time that we will never forget, an impartation that changes our life forever, oh God. God, may we be able to be like Isaiah to say, in the year of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord. God, I pray that today, on this day, August 19, that people will be able to say, on August 19, I encountered God and I will never forget it and I will never be the same. God, I speak that right now. I pray your Holy Spirit will just blow over each and every one that has their arms up and their posture to receive from you. I pray your a download of your impartation and double portion anointing over them today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Come on, come on, let's sing this together as we go. Let's sing this together. Let's sing it in faith today. Come on.
Take courage, my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul.
He's in the waiting.
Oh,
he's in the waiting.
Hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's ever
my soul, still waiting.
Oh,
he's
So this morning as we go, I want to encourage you as we sang, He's in the waiting. Hold on, right? Hold on to the hope as your promise unfolds this week. As you walk, maybe as you still plow, hold on to the hope that He's in the waiting. Amen. Come on, can we gave the Lord a hand. We love Him. Can we tell Marcy thank you as well for being faithful? Come on, Marcy, we love you. We thank you. Let's go out of here knowing that the victory's in the waiting. Amen. Amen. You're released. Hey, we'll see you next week. Come a little early for donuts. Come ready to bless our community. We love you, and we'll see you next time.